from Nadex binary options. What do you trade in stocks?
Stock indices, Forex, commodities, and more. All from one account.
I like all the choices, but is it risky?
Well, with Nadex, I set my maximum risk up front.
So it's, will the market be above this price by this time? Yes or no?
Right, and if you're right, you get the full $100 payout per option. If not, zero, or take profits or cut losses early.
Sounds challenging and fun.
For me, it's limited risk, unlimited fun.
You know, that's how trading should be. How do you spell it?
Nadex.com. Nadex.
Futures, options, and swaps trading involves risk and may not be appropriate for all investors.
From San Diego, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest hosts Scott Kaplan and Billy Ray Smith on CBS Sports Radio.
And we are live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Scott Kaplan and Billy Ray Smith. From our home base in San Diego, the Mighty 1090. We said today the NFL coaches were coming, the head coaches. Mike McCarthy earlier today talking about giving up his duties as the play caller and handing off to his coaching staff more responsibility. Mike McCoy from the San Diego Chargers earlier today talking about the potential for relocation and how his team is handling that.
So we were 2 for 2.
And here we go. Here's 3 for 3 now, nice. Billy Ray. Here is the head coach of the Chicago Bears, John Fox, on with Scott and BR on Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. Foxy, good day.
Oh, it's an awesome day. Good to be with you guys, as always.
Yeah, how's things going so far?
Really good. You know, I think, obviously coming in new, you're just trying to kind of reestablish what the message you are trying to get across to guys, and they've been great throughout the offseason and so far during camp.
Can you give us the message? What's the message, Coach?
Well, actually, how to prepare to win games, the things it takes necessary, the effort and commitment it takes, how to do it every day. And at the end of it, you usually like what you see. So our guys have been working very hard and kind of attacking that each day, getting a little bit better, kind of going beyond what they think might be their capacity. And, that's kind of what it's all about.
John Fox, the head coach of the Chicago Bears, on with Scott and BR on Jim Rome. Coach, if you can possibly make this comparison, what's it like when you got your first head coaching job and you walk in to address the team in Carolina versus now when you address the team in Chicago? You're now an established head coach who's been to 2 Super Bowls. Is there a lot of difference in your first meeting with the Bears because you now have head coaching credentials?
Well, I'd say yes. And I think both from a player and assistant coach perspective, as well as the head coach. I think, when I first walked into Carolina, you draw on experiences and head coaching mentors that you've been with as an assistant, and you draw from all of them and basically create your own philosophy. So I think you're still committed as a first-year head coach, but you're drawing on, experiences as an assistant coach. Once you become a head coach, the term skins on the wall or, credibility, whatever word you want to tag on it, you have that. And this is a small fraternity of people, whether it's coaches, general managers, players. There's only 32 of them in the world. So you do build relationships. You do build a reputation, good or bad. And I think, guys research that. It doesn't matter, whether you're a player visiting with players, assistant coaches, that you have great relationships. And this game is about relationships.
All right, John Fox, the head football coach of the Chicago Bears. Coach, let us turn our attentions towards your team and give us a little feedback on what's going on. First of all, I think many of us on the outside have a perception of who Jay Cutler is. I wonder if you had a perception And now that you're working with Cutler, if that perception is different?
Well, I think, you know, obviously, you know, back to what I even said earlier, you know, everybody has a rep, everybody has, you know, there is perception. And, you know, a lot of time that perception, you know, can be reality. You know, I think what I've found out in this league, you know, this is a performance-based league. And I don't care if you're coach, I don't care if you're a position coach, I don't care if you're a player. At the end of the day, you have to perform, and it's about winning games and doing the things necessary to win games. You know, I think that's where really the Chicago Bears, us now, we have to overcome that. And, you know, working hard and doing the things necessary to prepare to win is critical. So it's hard to speak from the past. You know, I just know that really anybody and everybody here, including Jay, has, you know, done everything in their power to do the things we're asking. I think, you know, there's no doubt there's capability there. But at the end of the day, it doesn't do anything to talk about it. I mean, we have to perform, and we're going to get that opportunity here shortly.
Yeah, and Foxy, I think it was huge as far as getting the wide receiver, Kevin White, bringing him in and giving Jay a weapon to attack the defenses with.
Well, there's no doubt. And, you know, there's complimentary football. There's things that you can coach. This is not being critical by any stretch, but just on my experience, you know, whether it's lowering the pitch count, I mean, you know, the run game is quarterback's best friend. I think, you know, you have to give your O-line a chance. You know, you struggle with this every season, no matter what team you're with. You know, it's keeping the defense honest. You know, when they can just tee off on you in passing downs and passing situations, you know, you give them a lot of advantage. So it helps the whole offense. You know, I think you try to surround, it's not a one-man show. Everybody, you know, the quarterback gets a lot of credit or a lot of blame, really on any football team. So it's just the way of the NFL. And I think, you know, he does have, we are giving him more tools. You know, hopefully in the style of offense we play can help with the pitch count. You know, I think you look outside, you've got accomplished receivers. And, you know, we just got to play better. You know, I think Matt Forte is a, you know, a very, very solid back. So offensively, you know, there's some talent, but, you know, we have to develop the skills it takes to perform well.
We're talking to John Fox, the head football coach of the Chicago Bears. It's Scott and BR filling in for Jim Rome. Billy Ray mentioned your first-round draft choice, this kid White out of West Virginia, and everything I'm reading in the Chicago papers make it seem like there's some major controversy why the kid isn't on the field during training camp. Coach, what can you tell us about the health of Kevin White and when he's going to start practicing?
Well, I think, you know, he you know, had, you know, a shin injury, whether you can call it shin splints or his shins just flared up. And it was probably due to overtraining for the combine, a lot of the things you do. We caught it, you know, really right towards with a week left to go in OTAs. You know, we did shut him down. You know, the key to that is getting off your legs, especially the pounding on the grass. And, you know, these guys come out of college, you know, play a whole college season, and then they train like crazy. And, you know, Kevin's a very serious guy about his profession and worked very hard. Luckily, we were able to see that, kind of shut it down. It's been probably 7 weeks now, you know, over the summer, over the five-week break that we all take. And we're just being cautious. And plus, he hasn't done anything in 7 weeks. So, you know, just soft tissue, cardiovascular, a lot of things you don't want to throw a guy out there and risk injuring something else. So we're going to be cautious with him. He's smart. He's in meetings. You know, he's able to watch practice. He just can't participate. So, you know, we'd all much rather him be out there, but we also want to make sure he's out there when it starts counting.
So that's it. It's injury / conditioning. Because, again, John, I don't know if you're reading the
soft
papers.
Tissue.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
I mean, man, the Chicago papers would have you believe there's some major controversy that you guys are covering up about this kid.
Yeah, it's, you know, be real honest, I don't pay much mind to it. But, you know, I just know we're doing what's right for the kid and for the Chicago Bears.
Coach, you guys pull in with a new staff, with an organization that obviously needed to clean house, that was a 3-win type team a year ago. And tell us about the installation from a 4-3 to a 3-4 difference, how hard that is with, A, a new defensive coordinator and philosophy, and, B, even though you've brought in some new pieces, you still have to use what the Chicago Bears had on their roster. How's that going?
You know, I think it's very much like any of the situations I've walked into. You know, I walked into 1-15 in Carolina, 4-12 in Denver, and 5-11 here in Chicago. So, you know, there's a lot of challenges. I mean, that's why this is, you know, I know personally I have a great passion for it. It's very competitive. And, you know, you try to change kind of the mindset or change the culture to some degree. You know, you're implementing new systems. You know, we've been a hybrid 4-3, 3-4. I think there's way more carryover than people understand. So I think from that standpoint, it's not huge. You know, I think, you know, from to coaching your players, your systems, both offense, defense, special teams, how you practice, how you prepare, how your meetings are conducted. I think, you know, those are all learning experience for everybody. But you know, I think probably the thing that really helps me a lot is, you know, we were able, in a new deal, coming out of the lockout. So we reported to camp in Denver, and we'd never even seen the players. We had no off season. There was no OTAs. So I think, you know, that's been a great experience on how to install, what a good progression, learning progression is. And, you know, we were able to do it without any off season as a first year staff and still win the division and make it to the playoffs.
And we're talking to John Fox, the head football coach of the Chicago Bears. Scott and BR in for Jim Rome. Foxy, let me turn it to you then for a second. I want to know, after all these years of being a head coach in Carolina, where you made it to a Super Bowl, in Denver, where you made it to a Super Bowl, what motivates you? Is it still that pursuit of a Super Bowl championship? Because as soon as the relationship ended with Denver, you jumped right into this Chicago opportunity. What motivated you to hurry up and say, yes, I'll take another head coaching job, rather than let me breathe for a little while and you know, maybe even sit out a year?
Well, you know, I had those opportunities, you know, coming out of Carolina as well, to sit out. You know, I still have a great passion. I have no other real motivation other than what it would be like to hoist, you know, the Lombardi Trophy. And, you know, that is what is my why. You know, I ask players all the time, you know, what is your why? If your why is the money and you make the money, what's going to be your why now? All right. So I think, you know, for me personally, Scott, it is about, you know, hoisting that trophy. I mean, I've never got to experience it. I've hoisted the championship trophy 3 times, but never the world championship trophy. So it's what motivates me, you know, just historically here in this storied franchise with the Chicago Bears. They have one Super Bowl trophy in their showcase, and it looks pretty lonely. So it's a great challenge, and excited about going after it.
Any heat from wife and family when the Denver thing came to an end? Like, hey, you know, a couple years ago you were having a heart surgery. They pulled you off a golf course. Maybe now's a good time to just pump the brakes for a little while. Maybe do TV for a year. Was there any resistance from your family at all to not jump right back in?
You know, not really, Scott. I think, you know, the tough part about your family in this profession in general, not just last year or years past, but you know, we know what it's about. We sign up for it. You know, our children, you know, our wives. You know, I'm not really sure they know what they're signed up for. And, you know, through time, you know, that does affect you. You know, I mean, you know, it's not to relocate, you know, 15-year-old daughter, you know, from her friends and, you know, her familiarity. But, you know, they've been great. They've been great my whole career, and they're a big reason why, you know, I've gotten to where I'm at. So, you know, you deal with it. It's never easy. You know, usually things worth a darn aren't very easy.
Hey, Foxy, before you go, you just mentioned the word relocate. I'm just curious. As a guy who's from San Diego, played at San Diego State, and coached at one time for the Chargers, are you following at all the story of potential relocation?
You know, I think, yeah, you do. You know, I know, you know, it's disappointing because I know, you know, how big that team and organization has been, you know, to that area. I think, you know, you knew it was a matter of time. I'm actually shocked that there hasn't been a team move to L.A. in all these years. It is, you know, when people started jumping out of L.A., you thought it would be, at least in my brain, I thought, you know, the most is going to be is 2 or 3 years and somebody will be back there. So this was a matter of time, and, you know, somebody's got to move, or, you know, something's got to happen, you know, as far as the league goes. And you kind of always knew it was just going to be a matter of time. I'm actually shocked it's been this long.
John Fox, the head coach of the Chicago Bears. Coach, it's great talking to you. Thanks for being available to us today. Good luck this season, and we'll talk during the year.
Thanks, Foxy.
All right. Scott, Billy, always a pleasure. You guys have a great one.
Yeah, you too. Thank you. John Fox of the Chicago Bears. Now, how many years did you play for the Chargers that he was a coach?
Couple, three.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was a defensive backs coach?
Right.
Good relationship, because here you are the star linebacker of the team and he's the DB's coach?
Well, I wasn't the star linebacker. I was just the, outside linebacker. Junior was a star linebacker.
Well, you were the star before Junior was the star. Come on, Billy Ray. In the meantime, John Fox, this is a crazy story, but the day of my draft, which, by the way, I wasn't getting drafted, but the day of the draft, Drew Bledsoe was the number one pick, and my phone rang, and it was John Fox on the other end of the phone saying, hey, we want you to sign as a free agent. Well, Coach, the draft has like 12 more rounds. Yeah, you're not going to get drafted. We already know that.
Wow.
Oh, I go
that
way back.
That is great.
Yeah, I love John Fox. I was almost surprised that he jumped right back in.
Man.
But that pursuit of the Lombardi Trophy, especially when you've already got the why. He mentioned, I asked guys, what's your why? Why do you still play? He's got the money.
Yeah.
He's got the respect. He just doesn't have that Super Bowl championship.
Exactly.
Billy Ray, let's open up these phone lines for clones. 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. Clones, you want to get in. Now is your time. These phone lines are wide open. And this is Jim's show, but it belongs to you, the clones. Hit those phones right now on any of the topics we've talked about or anything you want to bring to the jungle. We are live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Scott Kaplan and Billy Ray Smith from our home base, the Mighty 1090 in San Diego, filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
And Billy Ray Smith, the Scott BR Show from our home base, the Mighty 1090 in San Diego, filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. Clones, your calls are on the way. 1-800-636-8686. You know, yesterday we tried to hook up with Bob Baffert, the Hall of Fame trainer whose Triple Crown champion American Pharoah won this past weekend at Monmouth, New Jersey. And we think Bob is going to join us here in a matter of moments. If you missed what American Pharoah did on Sunday, here, play it for everybody, Al.
And he's coming into the final furlong, and he is all by himself. K-Nice has moved up on the outside. He's about to take second. That is the composing return for a living legend. American Pharoah won by 3. He could have won by 20. He was eased up all the way through the stretch.
Yep, he was eased up. Here
is a living legend.
He is a living legend.
Awesome.
Hey, 37 years in between Triple Crown winners. Here's Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert on the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio with Scott and BR filling in. Hey, Bob, thanks for being available to us.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was loud. It was crazy. This horse is just, he's got such a following. I always wondered if I ever won the Triple Crown, would it be like, and I never imagined it would be this big.
Well, we talked right after you won the Triple Crown, and we asked you, has it lived up to what you'd hoped? And back then, you probably didn't even know, but when 60,000 people show up at Monmouth to see this horse race, it kind of gives you a whole different idea of how big him winning the Triple Crown, you guys winning the Triple Crown, really was.
Yeah, and it was sort of nerve-wracking for me, because when I got there, I was, we felt confident our horse was going to run well, and he trained well down here at Del Mar. And I wasn't sure, what he was going to do, because with his new surface here, it's pretty demanding in the mornings. It's neat. And so I was hoping, I think he's ready. And then the closer I get to a race, then I start leaking. I start thinking, maybe I hope he's ready. Maybe I didn't do enough or whatever. But it was a lot of pressure, because there are people – flew in from Australia, from Europe, just to come see him. And so, and then the governor, Chris Christie, flew in there to see him. And it was like a lot of pressure. And but that horse, when the way, he the performance that he put on was, everybody had goosebumps. It was just, this horse is, I've never seen anything like it. I mean,
and you've
I've
had other
lucky.
Horses, I've, yeah, you've had others that have had, you know, 2/3 of the Triple Crown, but you've never seen anything like American Pharoah. And Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert on with Scott and BR on the Jim Rome Show. Bob, I got to ask you, because everybody wanted to know immediately after the race, what is next for American Pharoah? And we've had this conversation before. He lives at Del Mar. He trains at Del Mar. He loves the surface at Del Mar. Why not run the horse in the Pacific Classic?
Well, I mean, that's a good question, but the this horse is. I wanted to see how he came out of it, because when you ship a horse, especially it was hot and humid there. It was a lot of humidity, and so it can be taxing on a horse. And this horse right now, you know, I'm more worried about his, you know, the legacy, and you know, to me, it's I'd love to run him every week if I could. He's just so much fun to watch running. He loves to run. He really enjoys running. As you can see, he gets out there and he just dominates. And so,
did the horse have to work that hard? I mean, it seemed like he breezed and he was pulled up early because there was really no competition. I mean, if he wanted to, could you bring him back in 3 weeks?
It'd be tough. You know, I have to be fair to the horse, because, and we really don't know how, it takes about a week or so. I know he got home yesterday. He arrived here at 7 o'clock, and you know, he looked like he was tired. You know, he you could tell he'd been through the flight going back and forth, but he ran fast early. He had to put away those speed horses, and he went pretty quick. He went 46 flat. That's the fastest he's gone. 109.3 for. I mean, he ran fast, and then he geared him down the last part. But still, it's he really put a big effort out. So, you know, the last thing I want to do, I want to make sure that when I send him out there, he just, you know, as long as he's healthy and feeling well, you know, I don't have to worry about who he runs with or where it is. But as long as, so it's hard to really, it's hard for me to say, oh yeah, he'll come back in 3 weeks. But I'm just, there's a lot of pressure now,
yeah,
having this horse. And it's like, he's done a lot, and everybody wants him at the track. I mean, Saratoga, I got, you know, all these tracks putting in. But my main concern is the horse, and, you know, it would be awesome if he ran here. But right now, it's like, you know, it's a little soon back. It's highly unlikely. You know, I could bring him back if that effort. But I've changed my mind before, but it's just, I don't know. I just, this horse is... I feel like, you know, I've got the Beatles, you know, and so I gotta make sure that I gotta keep them in tune, you know.
Well, hey, let me tell you, I'm gonna see you out at the track tomorrow. I'm gonna keep working on you, Bob. Congratulations on the win to you and the team of American Pharoah and your win this past weekend in New Jersey, and we'll see you out there this week. Thank you very much, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
All right, Bob Baffert, the Hall of Fame trainer.
The Beatles.
Yeah. Well, hey, he's got a superstar,
and
it sounds crazy, but he's got the star of the sport.
No doubt.
Clones, here come your calls. 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. We've been all over the map. So whatever you want to talk about, now is your time, Clones. Here's the latest sports update. It's coming up right now. Smith, the Scott and BR show from the Mighty 1090 in San Diego, filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. And we are broadcasting live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. Better parts, better prices every day. That's O'Reilly Auto Parts. You know, Billy Ray, before we get out of here today, I want to grab a bunch of calls from the clones.
Great.
Also want to thank Alvin DeLauro in Los Angeles, along with Austin Huff, part of Jim's staff up there in New York. Tom DeCelestino, whose name I'm having all kinds of a hard time trying to...
He got really close.
I'm having to write it out phonetically. DeCelestino. And Adam Gracia in New York, working at CBS Sports Radio. I want to thank the entire crew, because this is a tough little love triangle to put on from L.A. to San Diego.
It's not a little love triangle. It's nationwide.
Yeah, and it's a little bit more technical.
It's a challenge.
Than you realize. So right. Thanks to Alvin and Austin and Tom and Adam and the entire crew at CBS Sports Radio. And, of course, I got to send out thanks to our friend Jim Rome, whose roots are here in San Diego. He really, you know, earned his chops, if you will, here in San Diego. Billy Ray, as a matter of fact, you were a player with the Chargers when Jim was kind of the late night guy on the old 690, the mighty 690.
I was on Jim's show, many times. Yeah.
In fact, people had been putting out some tweets with some old videos of you as a player, you know, back when you had the Magnum P.I. mustache
and the kind of
cool mullet going and the Zubaz pants.
Wow.
Yeah. How many times do you think, and I don't mean specific number, but do you recall being a player and being on with Jim way back in the old days?
I do. Yeah. I mean, he was covering the Chargers and, you know, pretty much going through the roster and talking to, you know, the players that were out there making a difference.
You know, it's amazing when I think of Jim's career. This is a total side note. We're coming to your calls. How long Jim has been a part of your life, my life, all of our lives. I mean, I can remember being a kid, probably fresh out of school, and Jim had the old ESPN2 show, The Deuce, and we all know the story of, you know, Jim Everett and everything. That you think about how long Jim's been at it and how successful he's been. So, Jim, I know you're over in Italy and enjoying your family time and enjoying a couple of weeks off that are very well deserved, but we appreciate the trust and we appreciate you being a regular listener to the Scott and BR show and then saying, hey, guys, it's time to come fill in. We really do appreciate it. Before we get to these calls, here is the O'Reilly Auto Parts Ask the Pros. It comes to us from Don in St. Louis. He asks, of the three head coaches that you had on today, who will have the best record this year? Who's it going to be, Billy Ray? Mike McCarthy and the Packers? Is it going to be Mike McCoy and the Chargers? Or will it be John Fox and the Chicago Bears?
Come on.
Don't do it, Billy Ray. Come
on. Do it.
You can't do it.
I'm absolutely going to do it.
You cannot be the ultimate homer.
Mike McCoy, absolutely. Absolutely. They've got the truck now parked behind Phillip Rivers. It's going to be something to watch. Let me tell you something. It's going to be a lot of fun on the Charger offense.
I'm going to go with Mike McCarthy, who is, as you heard earlier today, if you were listening, I've known Mike McCarthy for like 25 years. And interviewing Mike McCarthy, who I love dearly, is like pulling teeth. And Mike is laser-focused, and he's got that Pittsburgh blue-collar mentality. When you read Sports Illustrated and you hear about how Pete Carroll is using every motivational tactic and every celebrity to come in and speak to the team, and whether it's military people or Special Olympians or anything like that that Pete Carroll can take some motivation from, he uses it. On the other hand, when you listen to Mike McCarthy, it was a devastating loss in the NFC title game. We had a 16-0 lead. Things have changed in our organization. We're past it. We're on to the next thing. We're on to the next season. I'll take Mike McCarthy as my answer to who will have the best season of the three coaches we had on today. All right, let's go to these phones. We'll start it off in Wisconsin. Here is Colin checking in on the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio. Colin, Scott and BR here. Talk to us.
How you guys doing? Great show. Good. I'm proud of you guys filling in for Jim. You guys are doing an awesome job.
Well, you're doing an awesome job, too. We're big fans of your show. You got a great show, pal.
Season. They're going to win the NFC North because the Bears are a pile of junk with Cutler. All Cutler does is throw interceptions. And the Lions are good, but I don't see them winning in Green Bay if it comes down to it for the title, and the Vikings just suck. Although I am worried a little bit about our defense after collapsing in the NFC Championship. I think we're going to have a good year, and I think that we have to be traveling to Green Bay in January.
Well, you know what? I want to start off by saying, and thanks for the call. Billy Ray, in your playing career, you play in Green Bay?
I did.
Once, twice, a bunch of times, handful
once.
Of times? Really?
I had my first interception there, as a matter of fact.
And do you remember who the quarterback was?
I don't.
Really?
No, I don't.
See, that's right there. That's CTE talking
really?
Right there
no,
is what
it's
that is.
Not.
That's
no,
what that
it's
is.
Not.
Come on, you should know
no,
who
that's
you...
just forgetful.
Come on, you should know who you had your first interception off of, who the Packers quarterback was. What year is this? 83? Somebody do the research.
83, picked it off in 84. I went through the entire 83 season without
okay.
picking a ball off.
First interception, second year. All right, somebody do the research and find out who was the quarterback.
Yeah, somebody do that.
Somebody hurry up. Listen, I cover NFL football all season long, whether it's doing Sunday nights or Monday nights on Westwood One or doing Sunday afternoons for CBS. I've never been to Lambeau Field.
Oh, no.
And all I've heard is Lambeau Field is NFL religious experience.
Absolutely.
So this year, the Chargers are traveling to Green Bay, and I'm going to go to that game for the first time, go to Lambeau Field. Have never been.
Oh,
looking forward to it. Here's a call from CJ in Oxnard, checking in on the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio with Scott and BR filling in. What's up, CJ?
What's up, fellas? How you guys doing?
Good.
Doing really good. And the hometown Oxnard, our producer Alex Padilla is an Oxnardian.
Oh, is that right? Well, mm-hmm. You know, we love the 805.
I know you do.
But I also love the 619. I want to give a shout-out to all my boys down in Ocean Beach. I went to San Diego State. And actually, I worked with BR a couple years on college football over at Fox. So what's up, BR?
What's going on, man? How's it been going?
It's been going awesome. I think you guys are doing a great job. I know Romy's on his super exclusive vacation in Italy. So it's been a joy listening to you guys. I just want to get onto this Bob Kraft, Tom Brady thing. I just could not be more sick of these guys. They need to take their lumps and move on. Bob Kraft is a blowhard. Go away, dude. No one but Pats fans care at all. Everybody else hates you. Okay, moving on to these Rousey Tyson conversation you guys had yesterday. I got to say that the Rousey fights are turning into my old bitter Tyson fights where I pony up and the fight's over in 20 seconds. I got to say, either Dana White needs to drop the price or have co-headliners, I think, because 20-second fights just are not going to do it. War Oxnard Shores, love you guys, and take care.
All right, there you go.
Nice.
That's a solid phone call right there because you had multiple takes.
Uh-huh.
Tom Brady, we're sick of you. Robert Kraft, we hate you. Everybody hates you except the Patriots.
Rousey and Tyson, you know, you got to have
yeah.
good.
So there's multiple takes. Pretty good. Not bad. Let's take a call, Billy Ray, from Kentucky. This is Doug checking in on the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio with Scott and BR filling in. What's up, Doug?
How you guys doing?
Doing really good. What's going on?
Nothing. I'm on my way to work. Just listening to you guys. Appreciate all the information. Makes time go by quicker. Hey, I just wanted to comment on that, on Hessman. You know, he started when Secretariat won the won the last Triple Crown 37 years. But, hey, you know, you gotta admire the man. He's doing something that he loves. There's plenty of people out there, you know, working in a I don't know, a hardware store or something that hates the job that they're doing. And this guy gets to go out there every night, smell the pine tar, knock the dust off his cleats. You know, it's just, it's good.
Doug, I'm with you. Listen, this is what I'm saying to you. For those of you that are just joining this conversation and weren't with us earlier, there's a guy named Mike Hessman. He plays minor league baseball for the Toledo Mud Hens. The Mud Hens were playing the Lehigh Valley, I don't know what the name of the team is. Something
yeah.
Pigs or something. Well, anybody remember the name of the team that they were
Iron
playing?
Iron Pigs.
Yeah, Iron Pigs. Oh, my God, Billy Ray. What a look at the big brain on BR.
There you go.
So this guy has hit 433 home runs in the minor leagues. He's 37 years old. When he's done, whenever it may be, 40 years old, and he goes out into the workforce, and he's got no money because he didn't make millions playing Triple-A baseball. He was making the stipend, you know, $600 a month or whatever. And he goes for his job interview, and they say, so what have you been doing for the last couple of years professionally? Oh, I'm the greatest minor league home run hitter in the history of baseball. Well, what does that qualify you for? I mean, I suppose maybe the guy can get into, like, coaching or management or something.
No question about that.
But to think that a guy would play that long in the minor leagues, that at no point, even at 30, where he goes, oh, my God, my friends are getting ahead of me, and they've all got real jobs, and they're building businesses, and they're having families. I got to talk to this guy, Hessman.
I'm with you. Because I'm just thinking that he might have another job. I mean, he may, you know, put on his uniform every night and play for the baseball team, but, I mean, he could have a desk office. You know, he walks in and works at a bank or something.
We got to find this guy, yeah, and we got to get him on the air. And I'm going to just say to all the clones that if you get done with us today and you move on to Joey Vendetta, who's hosting tomorrow from Toronto, you can always check in with us on the Mighty 1090s app. So I would use that on your cell phone because I want to talk to this Hessman guy. I want to talk to the guy who did the 50 Ironmans in 50 states. And I think we should save it for either our regular daily show or for our podcast.
Absolutely.
And you can, you know, hear those. Because if you're like us and you're fascinated by these guys, we're going to keep it going.
Great idea.
Here's a call from our home base in San Diego. This is Mike checking in on the Jim Rome Show with Scott and BR filling in. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. I tell you, the rest of the nation doesn't realize how great you guys are. We get to listen to you every afternoon.
And well, so we're trying to tell him, you know.
Now, you were talking about Larry Lucchino. All the great accomplishments. How about one last hurrah? Mark Fabiani has really been a cancer in San Diego. Dean turned over the team basically to his sons. He's going to work on the stadium. Why not hire Larry Lucchino back in San Diego and build a stadium, connecting it downtown to the convention center, build it right contiguous right from the convention center, build it straight out, half of it on land, half of it on water, use water taxis. Why not tailgate on the yachts?
Yeah, well, listen, Mike, first
Lucchino
of all,
versus Fabiani.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Everybody around the country who doesn't know what Mike's talking about, so when the Chargers, they have been pursuing a stadium in San Diego literally since the early part of the 2000s, right? The Chargers hired a guy named Mark Fabiani. This is the guy who used to represent Bill Clinton. He used to represent Lance Armstrong. He perpetuated Lance Armstrong's lies for years. He has manipulated the media in Los Angeles and in San Diego all to play this game. And I actually think Mike's got a brilliant idea there, Billy Ray. Since Larry Lucchino is one of the greatest sports executives ever, and since Larry Lucchino built a stadium, a ballpark, in Baltimore,
right,
in San Diego, and essentially rebuilt the franchise and the fan base in Boston,
right,
having Larry Lucchino go into semi-retirement here in San Diego and take over the cause to get a stadium built here in town would be phenomenal.
He'd get it done.
I'm really pulling for you guys in St. Louis. I really am. If you in St. Louis can get a stadium built or can have a real plan, the NFL cannot let the Rams just walk out of St. Louis, which is a real NFL and a real sports town. If you can get it done in St. Louis, Oakland is a non-factor. We can pump the brakes here in San Diego. By the way, I'm being told that Lynn Dickey was the quarterback of the Packers in 1984, and that's who your interception came against. Does that sound familiar?
Yes. Appreciate that.
One more call. Let's go up to Boise, and here is Aaron standing by on Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio with Scott and BR filling in. What's going on, Aaron?
Oh, you know, just a beautiful day in Boise. I just want to tell you, you guys are doing a great job covering it, but your perspective on this Rousey fight is completely obscured. The people that are saying the fight was too short are not looking at the whole picture, and they're not real MMA fans, because there was the last fight, Big Nog, an MMA legend, will ever fight in the octagon on that same card. It was a rematch 10 years in the making from Pride of Little Nog fighting Shogun Hua. There were a lot of great, great fights on that, aside from that two fantastic Ultimate Fighter Brazil fights and a couple of 135-pounders just throwing down women that started off the card. But overall,
I love
the
what you're saying. I love what you're saying, Aaron. Thanks for the call. That if you're a real UFC/MMA fan, it's not exclusively about the main event. It's about all the fights that are leading up.
Mm.
I think because Ronda Rousey has become such a gigantic star, that's what everybody focuses on.
Yeah, 34 seconds is still 34 seconds.
And the first 14 seconds were Ronda doing Mike Goldberg, the broadcaster, a favor that he could get in his reads of his
right
sponsors. First 14 seconds were, okay, you done? She probably looked over at him. He gave her the thumbs up.
Your turn.
Now you can knock her out.
Right.
Yeah, this Ronda Rousey story just gets bigger every day because now they're producing a movie about her life, and she's going to play Ronda. which is kind of weird. Like, whoever plays themselves in a movie, like when Eminem played essentially Eminem in 8 Mile, her movie is now going to be called Mile 22, and Rhonda's playing Rhonda. Sounds weird, but I'll watch it because I know it's longer than 34 seconds. Again, much love and respect and thanks to Jim Rome for having us host these last 2 days. We've got another couple of appearances coming up in October. Also, Alvin and Austin up in L.A., Tom and Adam back in New York. Our producer here in San Diego, Alex Padilla, at AlexPadilla86. If you want to hit his Twitter handle, at Scott Kaplan, or you can follow our show at Scott and BR. And Billy Ray, any final thoughts before we leave the Jim Rome airwaves?
Let's see. Padres, keep it going. Let's go.
Yeah, that's our local thing, man. We want to see our team make a playoff run.
They're making it right now.
That's a good call. Yep. Thanks to everybody involved. We'll see you guys next time. Scott and BR in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio.